often co-host. And with me, I have two of my favorite people. I have Josie Evans, who's a local actress and works backstage on a lot of shows. Josie, say hi.
Hi.
And I have Gabby Bruno, who is stage manager extraordinaire. And we're lucky to have her here today. Gabby, you want to say hi?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming last minute. And Gabby is amazing. So you're in for a good show. She is amazing. So anybody who came to the Globes, Gabby stage managed that too. Like last minute, we brought her in and she was amazing. So if you ever need a stage manager, let us know and we'll get you in touch with Gabby.
Oh, geez.
So Gabby, can you tell us what stage managers do?
Sure, absolutely. So everyone mostly knows what an actor does. They have a firm grasp of what a director and even maybe what designers do. But oftentimes people don't know what a stage manager is, which is kind of a good and bad thing, you know.
Right, they're, means you're doing your job well,
yeah, they're
right?
doing the job the best if they don't know.
Right.
Like, you don't know notice what they're doing. So basically, the stage manager is kind of, they're oftentimes a middleman, messenger between the designers and the director and the actors, and producers and the actors and everyone, like just trying to keep everyone connected and everything moving forward. And that's kind of like the logistical side that they do. And then the technical side is they also are in charge of keeping track of all the elements of a show. So props, scenery, costumes, the lighting and sound cues, making sure everything's where it's supposed to be and moving and coming on and starting and stopping at the time it's supposed to stop. So they're the ones, either the stage manager or the assistant stage manager, who is often backstage. The stage manager will oftentimes be in charge of the lights and sound and or projections, depending on what kind of show you're working on.
Right.
And the assistant stage manager is oftentimes in the back, backstage, helping the actors make sure their props are in the right place and make sure their actors are in the right place, too.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot to keep track of.
Yeah.
Well, the show that I'm currently producing, The Moors, Matthew Green calls his stage manager, Yenvi, the glitter glue that keeps the show running. And I really like
that.
Don't you like that?
Yes.
Like, stage managers are glitter glue. They're amazing. So you really couldn't have a show without one.
Yeah, and I really like glitter glue because it's like, yeah, they do have this, like, task that's kind of, like, it's like so, like, hard and, like, you got to do this stuff all the time. And but a good stage manager won't make you feel like they're your mom or something like that. A good stage manager will be like, oh, yeah, like, I do need to do that. Thank you for telling me.
Yeah. Right. And it's, I mean, yeah, they add so much to the show and keep everything going and running. And Josie had a question for you.
Oh, yeah. So,
first of all, I'll explain. Gabby, so you're new to the area, right?
I am, yeah. I'm originally from Los Angeles.
Okay, now you can ask Josie.
So, what was it like stage managing in LA and then coming here and stage managing all through that?
Sure. Let's see here. Stage managing in LA, well, because coming to CU, I wasn't really sure what the theater scene was going to be like. I came here because my significant other is going to school here. And
for
acting. He's getting his master's in acting. Yeah. Daniel, he's great. I love him.
He's amazing. He's very good. Yeah.
And so I came out here, didn't know what to expect. And I was like, maybe I'll get to do theater. Maybe I'll go up to Chicago and like do a show or something like every once in a while. I did not realize what a wonderful community theater scene there was.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of amazing for a smaller town. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really happy with the little theater friends and family I've made.
We're happy
so
you're
far.
Here. I know. Yeah.
But to answer Josie's question, it's kind of like here, but there's just a little bit more because it is, you know, LA. It's a bigger city.
Right.
There I was able to do it full time. Full part-time. Mm-hmm. It was my main source of income.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I was in Los Angeles. I was a professional stage manager.
How many shows would you do a year when you were in LA?
Probably like two or three. like main stage shows. Every once in a while, throw in like a stage reading or something like that. Those like one night only kind of deals.
Right.
But for the most part, like just two or three.
Do they run? Because I know here in town, some theater groups do a weekend. Some do 2 weekends. Mm-hmm. The station does 3 weekends. Mm-hmm. What is it like that in LA? Are they shorter or longer?
There certainly is. A lot of theaters often do that. My theater was actually kind of unique. It was a rotating repertory theater. Mm. So what they had was they had three shows in that season, and they would all be going at the same time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So all the scenery, like after a show would go up for a night, and then they'd have to pack up all the scenery, all the props, stash it away, and then the next shows, all that stuff would get unpacked and put up. And then they'd do their show and pack it up and put it away. And then the third show.
And every show would have their own stage manager and director and everything.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, if you tried to, like, you could maybe do, like, the first and third, but you could never do all. No. You'd go crazy.
Yeah.
So I was kind of, it was kind of unique. So with that kind of schedule, it was a longer run period. So it was probably, like, 2 months.
Oh, wow.
We would run for it, depending on, like, which slot you had, the first, second, or third.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so that was a unique thing that I used to do in L.A.
Nice. So what do you like about the theater community here that maybe you didn't have in L.A.? Or maybe not as far of a drive?
I just, yes, absolutely. Commute is definitely a game changer. I just really enjoy the fact that everyone's so willing to pitch in, you know, which you get that's just kind of like a general theater spirit, but it's just so much more here, and everyone's just so kind, and
Oh, that's good.
I've like, if I have experienced any sort of like diva personality, it was very fleeting and very like, oh no, that's just the way the person is. Not to be like taken offended like towards me or anything. So it's been wonderful. It's been very nice and refreshing.
Yeah, we're so glad to have you here.
Thank you.
And you're working on I Hate Hamlet right now.
Yes,
that's the next show to go in. The Moors is still playing at the station this weekend and next weekend. And then I Hate Hamlet comes in. And do you remember when they open? Or when we open?
I Hate Hamlet. I wrote it down. It's in the beginning of February. They run middle of February. February 13th through the 29th.
Right. Yeah. Cool. And so can you tell us a little bit? I know we're going to have Katie Burke on later, and maybe next week. But can you tell us a little bit about I Hate Hamlet? I'm producing I Hate Hamlet as well.
It's a tough one.
I know. And and I was there at the read through, and I just loved from the read through.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited about these actors that we have. The cast is stacked. Yeah, they're awesome.
It's great.
And so far they've been a joy to work with. Mm-hmm. From a stage manager point of view.
Which is good.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm super excited for the costumes. We had our costume designer come to our rehearsal last night and show us some of the pieces.
So it's all coming together?
It's starting to come together. So it takes place in the early 90s. So we got some fun pieces.
Which cracks me up that we're calling it a period piece, and I'm so much older than the two of you. But
no.
Well, especially Josie, because I'm her mom.
Yes, there you go.
I should be older, but but just thinking of the 90s as a period piece just kind of makes me feel extremely old, I just have to say. But the costumes are looking pretty 90s. They're looking pretty 90s.
They're solid. Awesome. I love our costume designer. She's doing great.
Yeah.
And
I have swords in my car for
you.
Oh,
my gosh, yes.
We're going to have swords. There's going to be a sword fight. What other kind of fun stuff do we have going on?
It's spooky. It's a little spooky.
It is spooky.
To be honest. Yeah. So if you like that, it's funny. It's funny as all get out. Yeah.
And there's kind of some romance in there too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some tender moments.
Yeah.
But it's just in general a fun show.
Do you have to know anything about Hamlet to enjoy
Absolutely
it?
Not.
Right.
That was if you do know Hamlet, you might enjoy it maybe a little more. But if you don't,
right.
you don't let that intimidate
right.
you.
Right.
Would you classify it as a comedy, a romance, or an action?
Hmm. I laugh the most.
I think it's really funny.
I think it's
comedy.
Oh, nice.
Our two leads, yeah. Andrew and Kevin, are killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
everything I see Kevin in, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's pretty funny. So, and I heard they're off book, some of them already.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I love it. I was doing line notes the other day, and line notes, basically, when we do a run-through, the stage manager will take note of whenever an actor paraphrases or whenever they drop a line or they call mm-hmm. a line. And they weren't as much as I was expecting. So these guys, they're really putting their all into it.
That's great. That's good. How big is the cast?
There's six mm-hmm. members of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
Three? How many men? I forget. Three
It's Kevin,
men.
Jace, and Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Maddie, Mary Rose.
Yeah, so three and three.
Misty, yes. 3 and 3. Yeah.
Because
right now the Moors is very female heavy, which I kind of love.
Totally.
Got some really amazing female energy and one guy, which is kind of fun. Because that doesn't happen in a lot of shows. So, but it's nice. I Hate Hamlet has the balance there.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a couple more shows coming up. Mackinac at Parkland Theater. They just cast that this week, and that's part of the studio series at Parkland, and that's going to be February 28th and 29th at 7 o'clock both days, and 3 o'clock as well on the 29th. So you might want to check out Parkland's webpage for that, and we'll also I will try to post it to see you at the show. Without Eric, it's a little slower getting these things out. Although he has been working from his hospital bed, he should be sleeping right now, but I bet he is listening to the show and critiquing everything, but we're trying to do it without you, babe. And we also have The River coming up at the station, and Matt Hester will be on in a later show. He could not make it tonight, but he promised he would come on. He's the director for The River. So there's so many shows coming up right now. But it's kind of, the Moors is the only thing happening right now that I know of that's actually playing right now. So you have absolutely no excuse not to check it out at the Station Theater if you would like. And we have 8 more shows. So it's tonight at 7:30. And tomorrow night, 7:30, and Saturday night at 7:30, and then the matinee is Sunday at 3:00, and then the rest of the shows Wednesday through Saturday, 7:30 next weekend. And
I can't wait. I still need to see it.
You do need to see it.
It has such an amazing cast.
Yeah, Josie's seen it. What did you think of the Moors?
I thought it was great, but I don't want to spoil any of it. I've tried to explain it to people. It's unexplainable because if you explain something, you spoil it all.
Yeah.
But it's indescribable because it's just so amazing and everything is happening in front of your eyes and you're like, wait a second, that was not 1 hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah, so The Moors is 1 hour 50 minutes, no intermission. I let everybody know before they walk in so they can do whatever they need to do to sit there for 1 hour and 50 minutes. But it goes by really quickly. And it's been fun listening to the comments when people come out. And some people are just kind of still processing the show. But a lot of people have said it was the best acting they've seen in a long time. It's a stellar cast. We just have so many talented people in town. It's really amazing. You'll just have to come and see it. At the end of the show today, we'll have Eric's review of The Moors because he got to see it, I think it was the dress rehearsal before we opened, so before he had to go into the hospital. And also, I have to say, everybody in the theater community has been really supportive of Eric. It's been lovely. People sending well wishes and and coming by and visiting and things like that. So it really is so nice, especially after the Globes. Everybody was so nice there, and it was great to see how much everybody supports each other. But then when one of us is not doing so great or has a health issue, it's nice how everybody rallies around each other. It's really a beautiful thing. We have a really sweet community here, and how supportive everybody is. And how people pick up the slack for other things, you know, other people. It's just kind of amazing. So I've just been like all weepy about our community lately. So what's your next project, Gabby, after I Hate Hamlet?
Not 100% sure. not till the summer, I believe.
Right, but you are going to be
lining up some stuff with our director, Katie.
Okay.
But yeah.
Are you going to be doing
discuss details?
Okay,
with that.
Sorry.
I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
It's cool. No worries.
I know Katie Burke, who is directing I Hate Hamlet, is going to be directing The Music Man.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. I have to check my schedule.
You might not be stage
managing. It's my problem. It's not their problem at all.
I was like, wait, what happened? I'm not in the know. So, yeah. So, Josie, what's your next project?
I'm the understudy for Jason in Falsettos.
Which is going to be?
At the station.
At the station. Do you know when it runs?
It runs April 16th. And it runs for 3 weeks.
Wow. I didn't think you knew, though.
I know.
Opening day.
Just killing it.
She's killing it. I don't know. She's so much more prepared than I am.
I don't know when the rehearsals start, but I know when the performances do.
Right. So rehearsals haven't started for Falsettos yet, but they start soon.
In February.
Yeah, which is coming up.
Oh, gosh. It scares me because I feel like I just got cast.
And then How I Learned to Drive is at Park. They haven't opened yet, but they are in rehearsals right now at Parkland. I know that because my son Parker is in How I Learned to Drive and Mackinac. And so I never know which rehearsal he's at right now because they're both rehearsing right now at Parkland. Mm-hmm. I think Mackinac is going to be in the Black Box Theater. And How I Learned to Drive might be in the other theater, but I don't know that for sure. I should know that.
Do you know when Chicago runs?
And then Chicago's after that. We'll get to that closer to the date.
You guys are getting ahead of yourselves.
I know. and also Bus Stop for Twin City. Yeah, that will all be on our webpage because I can't find it right now. I've been without internet for 2 days, so I'm a little I'm a little bit behind. It's been horrible.
Yeah, you didn't know what to do. It's hard.
Yeah, and also it's been a lot. One of the other things I wanted to ask you, because our stage manager asked me to bring something to the show tonight, what do you keep in your stage manager bag?
Ooh, let's see. Nothing too out of the ordinary. Mostly, you know, stationery or spike and gaff tape. I like to keep mints instead of gum to give the actors because, you know, you don't want actors standing there, and, you know.
Right.
So, but probably the most outrageous thing I've heard of in stage managers' kits, if they're doing like a musical and they don't have mic packs for the actors to put their microphone into, they'll use condoms.
I love that. So you keep condoms just in case.
I don't because I'm not working on a musical right now. But
if
we are
working on musicals, we should keep condoms.
Probably.
All right. That's a good one.
In case of emergency.
Yeah, that's a very good one. I hadn't thought of that. I mean, I usually have like a sewing kit just in case.
Yeah, that's a good
one. I'm taking tonight because we might need to sew something up.
Mm-hmm.
I usually keep emergency, which is, you know, or tea for
the actors. Something like ibuprofen.
Right.
Headaches and whatnot.
Yeah. Usually a first aid kit, like a little one with Band-Aids and stuff like that. Basically, it's like a Girl Scout or a Boy Scout kit or something. Yeah. You just have to be prepared for anything.
Yeah. Just like a mom's purse.
Right, exactly. I was going to say, it is very much like a mom thing.
Yeah. Mostly just got to, I have to keep track of my pencils. Pencils always walk away.
Oh, yeah. So. Pencils and pens and stuff like that. Yeah, basically anything an actor or director might need. Mm-hmm. Batteries. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I keep batteries in mine. Snacks sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting kind of big. Because it's funny.
When you get to those long tech days, those right. come in handy.
Right. Yeah.
When you get grumpy actors.
We love them, but yeah, they do get hangry sometimes.
Look at me, Mom. Ouch.
Yeah. Well, I think, do you guys have anything more to add? I think we're going to probably play the review if we have time. Gina's been lovely running the board for me tonight because I have not taken the airshifter training yet here at WEFT, which is February 2nd at 3 p.m. If anyone would like to take airshifter training, it's open to anyone. You just have to fill out a form, which is on the website, or you can come to the station and pick up a printed copy. And I'm going to be there February 2nd, so hopefully maybe some of you will too. And then I can actually run the board myself and not have to rely on the generosity of others. But I really appreciate Gina staying and helping us tonight. So we'll go ahead and listen to Eric's review of The Moors. And I hope to see some of you at the show soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Hey, this is Eric Schacht from See You at the Show with my review of The Moors, a Jen Silverman play, which is currently showing at the Station Theater in Urbana. It will run through February 1st, 2020, with shows on Wednesday through Saturday evenings at 7:30 and a matinee on January 26th at 3 p.m. The Moors is directed by Matthew Green, produced by Linda Evans and Sheila Pirana. It is starring Matt Hester, Emma Johnson, Kimmy Schofield, Mindy Smith, Lindsay Gates Markle, and Joy Hofsommer. Just a fantastic cast. A lot of station veterans. Also, a couple people making their debuts at the station. How one copes without hope is a universal question, with no boundaries of space or time. And life is filled with disappointment, pain, loss, and suffering. The world can be bleak and unforgiving. Perhaps the fact that we persist is testament to the absurdity of existence, and it is a full plate of existential absurdity that we are served in the Matthew Green directed The Moors, a play by Jen Silverman at the Station Theater. The Moors is set in the mid-19th century in the bleak and harsh region of North Yorkshire, England. This gives fertile material to scenic designer Nicole Powers, lighting designer Nick Shaw, and costume designer Susan Curtis, who creatively and intricately portray the stilted elegance and dreary monotony life in that time and place was all about. However, Jen Silverman's story is so bizarre and so funny, so contemplative, and so philosophically unique that the characters and story could really be dropped anywhere, anytime. In The Moors, there are five characters who live in the rural, flowing, mountainous landscape. And one, Mindy Smith, as Emily, who sets the wheels in motion for the story by arriving at the ancestral manor to be the new governess of the family. And what she finds there are three people and two animals, all inflicted with various psycho-philosophical personalities, which are primarily motivated by their strategies for coping with their respective plights and their perceived misfortunes. The Mastiff, played by Matt Hester, copes with lack of attention through obsession. Hester brilliantly portrays a creature whose philosophical skepticism gives in to the hopeful, all-consuming, heart-thumping excitement of love and attraction. A moorhen, played by Emma Johnson, copes with the ups and downs of life with ignorance. And Johnson, brilliantly costumed by Curtis, and fully achieving the embodiment of a flighty, yet not so flighty, bird in voice and manner is naive, yet heartbreakingly metaphoric in describing her life and her corresponding thoughts on relationships as brief soaring moments before the ultimate crash. Holdy, played by Kimmy Schofield, copes with lack of attention and affection with dramatic fantasy and self-aggrandizement. It is impossible to take your eyes off of Schofield as she is either bursting out exuberantly or just delightfully on the cusp of doing so. Marjorie is played by Lindsay Gates Markle. She copes with her unfortunate station in life with kind of a bipolar denial. And this role, or these roles, as it turns out, could have been played a number of different ways, and I suspect that an actress of her range and creativity has been given the flexibility to continue to tweak and evolve this most confusing and confounding of characters. Plural. Kind of. Agatha is played by Joy Hoffsommer. Agatha copes with her rational understanding of it all with a cold detachment and control. Hoffsommer has found yet another role that seems to have written precisely for her in the elder sister Agatha. Hoffsommer has a command and intimidation of the stage to perfectly contrast against Schofield's Holdy. Obsession, ignorance, fantasy, denial, and detachment. It's not surprising, then, that Emily questions her decision to take a position amidst this quagmire of emotional instability. That decision will get further called into question as various other surprises and twists are revealed involving characters both present and not. Green has a particular flair for setting the mood of a show with his soundtrack, so it's always interesting to arrive early to one of his productions. When I entered the Moors, I entered to the song I Feel Love by The Dead Weather. Now, aside from the pulsating rhythm and the name of the band, The Dead Weather, which almost an ode to the Moors, check out these lyrics. Nothing is a color, gray as the pill. Nobody cries. Nothing is alive. A little bleak, right? But don't worry, comedy comes hard and fast, and mostly in the form of Holdy. Schofield's Holdy gets to run wild with extravagant and over-the-top dramatization in not just every scene she is in, but almost in every line. A younger sister who imagines herself more deserving of the limited attention and lack of love she gets, she flamboyantly owns the stage with her body, her voice, her smile, and her eyes, and eventually her costume. There are twists, and you might leave a little more twisted than you arrived, but you will be better for it. So see this show. And those willing to suspend traditional story and structure will especially love it. And then take our challenge to write a review yourself that does justice to such outstanding writing, directing, and performance, because it isn't easy, as unique and unusual as The Moors is. It's a perfect show to bring to a venue like the station, where it can be intimate. The set is brilliantly designed into kind of three segments that ingeniously also function through a kind of a configuration of the story as half a dozen or more different rooms. And make sure you don't miss it. It will run through February 1st at the station. This is Eric from See You at the Show, and I will see you at the show.
Yes, you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This has been the WEFT Courier for Thursday. Join us for the WEFT Courier for every weekday for Democracy Now! At 4 p.m., followed by two additional programs of information.